Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Brandon, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, man. Let's see. Jeez, Louise. I did not do my homework on this one. I was already...
Because you know everything.
That's right. I'm a big fan of buttons and zippers.
Okay.
Yeah. I look up rare ways of fastening clothing because the act of fastening clothing became a really big deal.
What mm-hmm. is fastening clothing?
You know, this sounds crazy, but before you have buttons and bones and stones and zippers and clothing captures, your shit would just flail open. People would know that you had a sword. People could just freeze to death. They could just see your balls. But buttons changed the world.
Wow. Old fasteners would have just been like a pin. Literally just whatever's fastening clothing. Right.
You might use a shard of your enemy's skull.
Oh, shit.
A string.
The ultimate brooch and flex.
Yeah. Yours is cooler, though, definitely, than mine.
So
a string.
Are you making clothing?
You know, I used to make pocket squares out of dress shirts because they will always match your outfit because they're dress shirts.
Oh.
And if you cut the little tip, the back of a dress shirt is big enough to take and cut and then make into a pocket square. So for a while I was doing that. And that's a really crazy stitch. It's a nightmare. It's hard to do if you shake.
Oh, that makes sense. Because all the time I was like, why you got that big square missing in your back?
Yeah.
Right. I call these ventilation pieces.
Yeah, you're like, well, if you wear a jacket, you don't know.
What you do is you run into a hospital and you're like, oh, God! He almost got my back!
Perfect square.
What, have they come up with anything better than the zipper or the button?
I mean, Velcro is a huge, again, Velcro is like a...
That's a dude bad that rap.
He comes out of his cocaine haze and walks down his Miami backyard roadway to get to his yacht and goes, I invented Velcro.
Yeah, that's right. His road to his yacht is paved in cocaine. What is what's something that you think is underrated?
White exceptionalism. Let's be real honest. They're just not getting the credit that they deserve. You know, I think some of these scandals that we've seen this week with the ability to not just test into a university, but also then scam your way in is incredible. And these people are not being given enough credit. I mean, you said you were down. Like when your mom, like you forgot your lunch and your mom brought McDonald's and she was like, I'm sorry, baby. I brought McDonald's because I forgot your lunch money this morning. You were like, it's a win-win for me.
Yeah, right.
That ain't got shit on what these parents just did. I'm looking at my mom like, strawberries? You brought me a bushel of strawberries because you didn't give me lunch money? This woman paid $500,000.
To have someone else take the test.
Yeah.
And also to gaslight their own kids and be like, no, you smart, baby. You went from the 600s to a 1510 on your SATs.
That is incredible. I'm serious. That is some gangster shit. And you know that's why they got the mamas, because who loves you like that?
Right.
Who loves you enough to bribe somebody at a school? Your mama?
They
pulled a Forrest Gump in this shit.
Yeah.
I saw those memes pop up real quick. They're like, I remember when people used to get in school the old-fashioned way. The Sally Field from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
But this would be like if Forrest Gump's mom tricked him into thinking he was smart.
Right, that
was the thing about Forrest Gump is he was aware, like, the full time that he wasn't, like, as quick as other people.
I hate to break this to you, but all parents are lying to you about your intelligence.
Oh, yeah. And specialness. And
not if you're Asian.
Y'all motherfuckers is gifted.
My mom was like...
They're lying in the opposite direction.
I remember when we first started doing multiplication tables, like in third or second grade or something, I was one of the fastest ones. She was like, well, who was the fastest? And I said, so-and-so. And she's like, okay.
Why are they faster?
No, it was just okay. And to this day, I remember how nuanced that was. I was like, okay, right. I must destroy Michelle in the times tables. And you should have seen me look like a fucking calculator on meth the way I used to do those things. And then I think that's why I have a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, oh, they never told me shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, to bring that in there. Were you encouraged as a child, Jack? Academically? You seem smart enough that you didn't...
I did okay in school. I did well enough that they didn't really need to tell me shit.
Oh, look at this motherfucker talking like he invented the Knight Rider. This motherfucker, and then low key bragged, was just like, man, I'm up there getting amazed. Don't know how to what's going on, man.
But like, it's always anytime you listen to it was mostly like self applied pressure. Like I was just I was constantly in the midst of a panic attack over my grades. So anytime like a cool creative person is on a podcast or on TV being like, yeah, I didn't really do school, so then like I just came out here and I'm like the opposite of that.
Right.
I did the shit out of school.
I needed someone to be like, oh, really? To help me go along. Otherwise, I think I would have cruised.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because teachers do gas you up. They're always like, oh, that was great. And I think that's where maybe my parents were trying to balance me out, because I would come home acting like I was Encyclopedia Brown or something.
Right.
I'm pretty smart for a black kid, is what I would tell my parents as they laughed. I'm the smartest black kid in my class. So, and they were like, unimpressive, Johnson. Unimpressive. I had to drop out, man. So, I didn't really hear a lot of praise.
You think if you were praised more, you would have stuck with school?
For sure, man. You come to a shitty job if your boss tells you sweeps the floor great.
Where'd you grow up, Brandon?
A little town called University City, which is right next to St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Might have heard of it.
Yeah,
you might have heard of
Nelly.
Yeah.
U City.
We finna come to U City dirty. Uh-huh. If you go there, that's how we all talk.
in sing song?
Trying to get some cornbread. Maybe I'll go and buy a brand new bed.
That's just conversation.
Yeah.
Put a taco on it, baby.
Taking a step back, let's look at 4 years ago, there was also a crowded Republican nomination process going on. And one of the hot out of the box candidates was the always vigorous and exciting Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ben Carson, Dr. Ben
the woke doctor himself.
Yes, who's always appears to be half asleep. So he did not win. I don't know if you guys were into politics, but he didn't win president.
Oh, okay.
But
he
did
really
get
close.
Right. But he did get the job of running HUD,
from the guy who won, which is Donald Trump.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if you guys...
The guy from the Pizza Hut commercial.
Right, right.
Oh, I liked his work there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happened to that?
I don't know. I guess he's... Oh, Pizza Hut. I don't know.
He's doing... Oh, yeah. Okay.
But this has always been very weird that he's running HUD because...
It never made sense.
It never made any sense. He's not a person with any experience in policy. He's a person with experience in pediatric brain surgery.
Yeah, which... maybe Trump was like, don't worry, Ben. It's not brain surgery.
Running HUD. And he liked the joke so
like,
much.
Yeah, he's high like, five.
He's like, I'm honestly, guys, running HUD is just like, and he's like, okay, I'll take the job.
And do you think it was maybe because it had HUD is housing and urban development?
Of course, had the word urban in it.
Yeah.
He was like, shout out to urbans.
Right.
I guess maybe because he grew up in public housing, that was the one connective tissue. He's like, well, he grew up like that. It was a vastly different time.
Yeah.
But it's such a massively important position that it just. Again, it makes sense because everybody who had a massively important position just came from the fucking swamp and just were like, hi, I need to just, I don't want to do anything, but I want a job.
Right.
And like Scott Pruitt, he did a good job of completely fucking up the EPA and having a laugh about it.
But he, I mean, you would think because Ben Carson is not traditionally qualified for the position, he would be, like Scott Pruitt, like aware that people are paying attention to him and, you know, like working extra around the clock, trying to figure out how to get it in.
I think he's smart enough to know, like, I can stay in the job if I stay out of the headlines. And how do I do that?
Right.
By not doing anything. And I'll never generate any controversy because I will do nothing.
Right.
And that is precisely what he's been doing because we just got a 31-week schedule of his to see what the fuck he's been up to, and my man has been doing nothing.
That is unfortunately one of the more like effective people who have been appointed, because at least he hasn't been like imploding it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
but just nothing has improved and nothing has changed.
Right.
And nothing
I mean, he's
has
definitely had some. He's made some shitty decisions on certain things, but not in the aggressive way that'll be like policy. People are like, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But not like where Pruitt's like, hi, go get this mattress for me.
Right.
You know, or like, oh, can you give me those Dean and DeLuca like snacks I like on the Secret Service dime? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they looked at this calendar through a Freedom of Information Act request, and they basically said, you know, they looked at a lot of the Fridays. For the most part, he worked a 8 or 9 hour day. But on Fridays, baby, he had to keep those days holy because my man can't work too much. So they said, when they were looking at it, for 5 of the Fridays, he was off or had no appointments.
He had 3-day weekends?
5 more Fridays, he left before 2 p.m. to get to the airport to fly to South Florida, where he owns a $4.3 million mansion.
Mm.
For the remaining 6 they were looking at, he had no scheduled appointments past 3 p.m. And in all, he made a dozen weekend trips to South Florida during the 31 weeks. And they also just said, you know, he only huddled up with Housing and Urban Development senior staff once a week. But other departments like transportation, treasury, labor, they were doing it either, you know, daily or multiple times a week meeting up because, you know, he can't really be bogged down with work.
Right.
And just a few other, you know, he liked to, when he'd have lunch, like with one of the authors of like Chicken Soup for the Soul or like the fucking My Pillow guy when he was in New York. So
wait, he knows My Pillow guy?
Yeah. They're great friends. And
I wanted,
that's what he would do.
I expected more of My Pillow guy.
Wait, who's the My Pillow guy?
I don't know, but if he's
just
friends
that
with...
Info, it's that infomercial. You've never seen that?
You've had
no.
Honestly, I've had a MyPillow for years, and I love that shit. No.
Oh, really?
MyPillow fucks with Ben Carson. I love my MyPillow.
Well, he's also a big Trump dude, too.
I need to be more critical of who I'm buying my pillows from.
Yeah, but who? I mean, he looks so enthusiastic about those pillows.
He loves those pillows,
yeah, how
and
can
he
you
makes
blame
a great pillow. It's hard. It's hard.
I mean, look. You
sacrifices
know,
have to be
hey,
made.
Hey, pillows over politics is what I would say. Because you got to rest your head on one.
Wasn't there also a controversy where they were spending a lot of money on redoing
their...
the office?
Yes,
so,
bought...
like, they, this is something that never happens. Like, the person comes in and is like, we need to redesign the shit out of this place.
Right.
Like, it's usually a long, like decades in between any redesigns. But every Trump person just came in and was like,
nah.
This isn't going to do.
They're like, I can spend money? Okay.
Yeah.
I think he spent, it was something like he was about to spend $30,000 on furniture. And like one of them was like a table that was over 10K or something like that.
And then he blamed it on his wife.
Yeah. And then he's like, I don't know, my wife. I don't even know I was about to do Trump. But just, you know, she handles that. So you're going to have to ask her.
She handles the table budget?
Mm-hmm.
like passing it off.
She doesn't.
Yeah. And then even like after all of this, like NBC was the one who first reported on this. Ben Carson had a reply. He just said, while the role of a cabinet secretary is to advise the president and run their agency, the role of NBC seems to be spinning incomplete information and misinforming the public.
Oh, you
looks
got
like
burnt,
we are
NBC.
Both doing our jobs.
You got fucking burnt.
Okay.
That's a Ben Carson
okay.
savage
the guy
moment.
Who said same-sex marriage is like bestiality. So, you know, he's got a long road ahead of him. But he's actually out in 2020. He announced fairly quickly. He's like, can't do another term. Yeah. He was like, I'm out.
This is exhausting.
There's kids out there who need brain surgery again.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I hope Dr. Ben can focus on that.
Bye-bye, Dr. Ben.
That is wild that he is such a... Because not only is he taking the job of somebody competent who should be doing that job, but he's removing himself from the field of pediatric neurosurgeons, which he's reportedly competent at.
Yeah.
So he's like fucking two jobs, like fucking
oh,
two
oh, wow. Never thought about
yep.
that.
Yeah. So go back to what you're good at, man.
Sadly, we're like, go back to brain surgery, right. Okay, Ben Carson?
Surgeons are a very specific set of
skills.
I don't mean to sound like Liam Neeson, but it's like, it's more like fighter pilot than like genius. It's like you have to be good at intense situations.
Or pod racer.
Right. It's
episode
very
one,
similar.
Phantom
yeah,
Menace.
Pod racer is a good
I mean,
good
Sebulba, he was great with his hands.
Thank you for putting it in terms of
Ben
Phantom
Carson
Menace.
Vibes. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Is Ben Carson Sebulba? Fan theory.
Well, speaking of inequality, we wanted to take another look at the college admission scandal. The scandal has, in addition to just being hilarious,
yeah.
a source of hilarious details about rich people's dumb children. It has shown a light on just how fucked up the admission system is, which is something that I was kind of aware of, like from a very young age, like how the admissions process worked. And so I don't know, I hadn't really taken a step back and been like, oh, this doesn't make sense as a like part of an egalitarian, like, or like meritocratic society. Like, this shouldn't be how things work. But this story has helped, I think, bring people's attention to just what bullshit the actual admissions process is, as well as the some of the details of the affirmative action case that was being brought against Harvard already, because it's being alleged that Harvard weights admissions against Asian students. But the one big takeaway I have is white conservatives have complained that minority students have an advantage, but the more you look holistically at the overall way that the admissions process works, it's more accurately described as like an extremely inadequate attempt to try and compensate for all of the extremely unfair advantages that rich white kids have, because that's like there's been articles in The Atlantic that talks about how college athletes is basically affirmative action for rich white kids, because when you picture college athletes, you're picturing, you know, like UK's basketball team, or, you know, like really popular, widely viewed college athletics. But most college athletes are like playing lacrosse and crew and sailing and squash. And
right.
It's just these sports that only rich white families have access to. And it's just a way to get kids into school. Like Harvard, I think you're like 1,000 times more likely to get in with equivalent qualifications if the squash team says they want you or something, like, or any athletics.
Oh, just to have that
yeah.
little sign off. It's
yeah.
like, oh, there you go. Exponential rise.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a clear formula, like at the turn, back in the turn of the century.
Right.
When we were applying to colleges, of sort of the idea of like, we need good grades, you need extracurriculars, mm-hmm. and these other things. And it still was seemingly seemed like there was a you had a fair shot.
Right.
And I think it was starting to, not that it was equally fair, but it wasn't as in our face how completely fucked the system was, because
right.
I think there were enough people still, like, college was somewhat affordable, or it was just in the beginnings of it going off a cliff. But like, it was able to still create this like myth of it being fair in a sense. And then as the years go on, you see the prices come up, and you see how like these kinds of things are weighted, and like what the makeups are of the different classes and the admissions. You're like, oh, like it's not even like education anymore. It's just merely can you get into this next phase of your life that will help ensure that you're part of a certain class?
Yeah, yes. It's like they're like shopping for the name brand colleges almost. And it is that way with rich people because it just used to be more indirect. You pay for the really good admissions, tutoring and all that. But now they're just literally buying themselves in. And the funny thing to me is that a lot of the schools that people were paying like hundreds of thousands to get into were like, I mean, there's also obviously the Ivies and stuff, but then there are just a bunch of schools that are like, they're not bad, but they're not like what I would think.
Watch
they're like
it.
A lot of them were.
You're going to shit on Miles and I's alma mater.
No. None of them were bad. So I have to say they're all great schools. But like, I went to high school in Palo Alto where they were also very overly, in a negative way, there's an emphasis on getting into college. And so, not from my perspective, but as a general zeitgeist at my high school, some of these schools were considered safety schools that people were paying into. Like, you know, and I won't name them because I'm going to get so much hate, but I'm not saying me. I mean, I went to a safety school, but...
You went to safety school.
I went to safety school, yeah. It was very safe. It's right in New York City. Safest city in the world.
Uh-huh.
No, but I just funny because it's like already on that level, the rich people are like... paying to just try to get into like a not mediocre but like an okay school.
Yeah, fine school, not the most elite, but yeah.
But instead of just working because it's pretty attainable, instead of just doing the work and with all the resources they have, they could have just done the work and probably got in.
Right.
And they refuse to do that.
Right.
And that's so funny.
Well, then it's
to
like,
me.
But then it shows you that there's even levels to that sort of wealth because if you're super wealthy, then you just pay for the multi-million dollar donation to the school and you go in through the front.
You buy a wing of the hospital
exactly.
The medical school.
Boom.
Program
now
or
your
whatever.
Kid's in or whatever. And now it's like, well, we don't have like 90 million like expendable income of like tens of millions, but we got a little couple hundred K to pay some like grimy coach to say they're.
It's funny that they think they're at a disadvantage compared to minorities, and it's like, you know why? Like I was a kind of a nerd in high school because all the cool kids were hanging out. You know, so like if you're a rich white kid, not that you have to be white, but a lot of these people are. If you're a rich white kid having all the parties and you're not inviting the minorities and you're being exclusive, well, guess what they're doing when they can't party with you? They're studying because
they have
no other choice.
Getting stronger.
All I'm saying is I would have partied. I would have thrown my grades away if you guys just gave me a chance, okay? And you could have taken my spot in my mediocre safety school.
You could be here on
you
the Daily Zeitgeist.
Just invited me to your cool parties.
And
but
I could
you
have
didn't.
Been, yeah, I could have been at that party and I would have pierced my belly button too
at
that party.
So I just studied instead, okay? And that's why I got smarter.
But one of the details that kind of put this into perspective for me is that Harvard has more legacy students. Legacy students make up around 14% of the undergraduate population than black students, who make up 6% of the Harvard population. So like that just shows what they're looking out for, what they're actually interested in building out. It's building out people who are willing to help them achieve their goal of going from like a $3 billion endowment to like a $4 billion. I don't even know. It's like their endowments of these schools are absolutely absurd. And that's the only way that I can think that they are justifying the addition of legacy students.
What do you need to be considered a legacy? Just one parent, two parents, three parents?
I think family member. That
just anybody, then boom.
I think it has to be parents, though.
Yeah, right, right. It can't be like an uncle.
Yeah, and that's not counting like all these... you know, people who just have an uncle or a friend or like a friend of a friend who like pulls some strings.
Right.
He's the provost or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, because it just shows you. I mean, like, it's like anything. It's like wealth that like they're even trying to put up safeguards against other people getting into it.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you can access this generationally.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to do it the other way, it's going to be much harder for you.
Yeah.
We tend to just like pick everybody who's already been around here.
Right. But I mean, that's the thing is like, the educational theory and like all of these like, you know, really advanced like academics have known for a long time that the best thing for a person's education is like diversity and like being people with a diversity of backgrounds, economically, racially, like all of these things. But they're saying like the thing that makes these schools so stubbornly rich and white is legacy. Like it's just legacy. But that just never gets brought up as like a, well,
yeah,
you know, why is this even a thing?
That's
why
crazy.
Is that a thing at all? Like, that feels like one of those things that hopefully in a generation everyone's going to be like, holy shit, you guys did that? That's like, how things were back in your day?
It should be that, like, there's one argument was, like, legacy shouldn't count against you, but it shouldn't count for you. So, like, if you're born into a family that has you know, a good work ethic and your parents studied to get into Harvard and you were taught with the same values, then it should be like indirectly easier for you to get in because you've learned from them and learned from their experience.
Totally.
But you shouldn't get weighted extra because your legacy. If anything, it should be blind. And
yeah,
then,
it shouldn't be a box you tick.
Yeah,
anything,
and most
right?
likely, if most likely, a lot of the genes will pass on to at least half those students. So some of those kids will be legacy anyways. But they should never feel guilty not giving you a spot.
Yeah.
Like I didn't get into Stanford. My parents both went there, and they sent a letter.
Oh my
to
God.
Apologize because I didn't get in.
I'm surprised you said that out loud.
No, and
Stanford sent a letter.
Yeah, because I was a legacy, but I didn't expect to get in. I didn't have the grades, but it still was interesting to get that because I was like, oh, that's right. I guess I'm a legacy, and I'm you know, they don't really donate to it, so
right. They
wouldn't have weighted me any differently. But think about all the kids who do, and they're getting like. These letters they send out is a way to keep people in the family and keep them donating.
Mm-hmm.
To just be like, you're special. Don't worry. We couldn't give you a spot, but like, we still want your parents to donate.
Yeah. Right.
Legacy students are, so we have all this information about Harvard's admissions because they are specifically who is getting sued.
Right.
And, you know, they were able to do a statistical analysis of like who gets in based on what grades. And legacy students are 5 times likelier to get into Harvard. But they said that Stanford, that's not true at all. So don't worry about it.
Oh, I know.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and Devin Nunez is back in the headlines. He is suing his mom? No, okay, sorry. I misread kind of. That. I guess I didn't do enough research on this story. He's suing Twitter for $250?
$250 million.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, like Magatine.
Right, because he thinks that Twitter was artificially holding him down. And
yep.
Oh, he's tweeting because he got shadow banned?
Yeah. He's he said
what he claims, which is the most like sensible part of his suit. Mm-hmm. The other parts of his suit are like, people were mean to me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. People tweeted at my mom.
Well, yeah. No. So here's the thing. He's suing Twitter, mm-hmm. and then he's suing two anonymous Twitter users, at Devin Nunes' mom and at Devin's cow.
It's not my cow, dude.
A political consultant, her name's Liz Mayer, who's a Republican political consultant for and like all these accounts, and this woman, Liz Mayer, he's suing them for defamation, mm-hmm. and then accusing Twitter of shadow banning him and other conservatives. And then he's just saying like, oh, this is just the beginning. I am suing so many people. A lot of people are like, this is just a stunt. Because let's be real, this isn't going to hold up. Like, it's
you think you're the first person to sue Twitter,
right? Exactly, and also for defamation, you think people like it has to pass the first thing where people would be like, "Oh, this is at Devin Nunes' mom is actually at Devin Nunes' mom who says he has herp face." You know what I mean? And when you read the,
you are impersonating my mother, yes. And this is a dead-on impression of my mother. There is no way,
right? And so he goes on, you know, more specifically, he's saying that Twitter, quote, intended to generate and proliferate false and defamatory statements about him and influence the midterms, was trying to intimidate him, you know, during his investigations, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's just sort of laughing it off. Now, like when you really look at some of the things, right, it's really absurd. Like Devin Nunes' mom or Devin Cow, I can't remember, one of the anonymous accounts.
Devin Nunes' mom.
Posted like a meme of like a human centipede with Putin at the top, then Trump, then Devin Nunes. And he was like, oh, this is defamatory. They're like, are you actually, y'all hooked up in a weird medical experiment like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
then he points, there's like points to tweets like from at Devin Cow, sadly. It says, hanging out on the dairy in Iowa looking for the little treasonous cowpoke is the bio of Devin Cow, which has 45,000 followers. And another one says, Devin's boots are full of manure. Oh boy, God. You might go to jail, sir.
Yo, Fox another News one, might report that his boots are full of manure.
Yeah, this other one, he's utterly worthless, and it's past your time to move him to prison.
All right, that deserves being sued. That's a bad.
Yeah,
that's
well,
a bad one.
So these people are anonymous,
I don't think you got it, so it's move.
Does that change anything? Still
yes,
terrible joke.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay, lazy pun. So he's going on, you know, saying, we have to figure out who's behind these accounts, because, like, pretending to be my mother and my cow. He says, because, quote, the corruption of American democracy and society by intentional falsehoods, fraud, and defamation must stop. So
I'm so glad that the handle at Devin Nunes' mom is making it into a court document.
I know. But in the actual criminal, on the complaint in the lawsuit, it says, the identity of those behind these Twitter accounts is a matter of great public concern, whether the accounts are controlled by wealthy Democrats, the Democratic National Committee, an opposition research firm such as Fusion GPS.
Oh. What?
I don't know. He's trying to say this, trying to connect us to the Steele dossier.
Yo, the DNC is not this good at Twitter. It's definitely not them.
No. And then it says, or, quote, the Russians, or, quote, the Chinese, with, quote, I don't know why it's quoted, or some other foreign government or non-governmental organization. The corruption, anyway, goes on, blah, blah, blah. So I like that he's even trying to be like, could be Fusion GPS. I don't know, y'all.
Yo, I don't know. I think the Koch brothers are tweeting at me.
Right. It's really, really.
So this is just a troll move, but it's a pathetic one.
Yeah and sad. Also, like, when you look at.
Sad.
When he talks sad. About, oh, you know, I'm getting shadow banned. Like, you know, when you actually look at, like, why the metrics are low for certain mm-hmm. people, Twitter has an algorithm in the wake of all the bottery that was going on.
Right.
That if when debottery. You interact, yeah, debottery, thank you. when people interact with fringe accounts, what they consider fringe accounts repeatedly, mm-hmm. they say, oh, that's someone who's interacting with sensational fake news and is probably like, this isn't the kind of user that it's. That's sort of a fail safe to be like, that's how we're going to try and curb it, because you're interacting with accounts that are.
Yeah, you couldn't just remove the Nazis. That would be crazy.
No, of course. Oh, God. Right, yeah, but, right. But they did real good at getting rid of all those ISIS accounts, though.
So if you're interacting with bots, you get flagged. And yeah, because so many conservative accounts are bots, and because they are parroting the same
shit. Or their followers
that
are bots.
Right. Yeah, or retweeting bot tweets. Then they're oh, you're trying to amplify this user.
You might be a bot. Yeah. Yeah.
Got but avoiding even considering that and just being like, oh, I mean, look at what's that. We're getting deep stated.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Jack Dorsey.
How's your day going, Devin? Ugh. Deep stated again, bro.
Ugh.
Someone's pretending to be my cow. I mean,
someone's pretending to be my mom.
Somebody, my real cow is furious.
A journalist tried to look into there was something with Devin Nunez's family claiming to be from California, but they actually own a dairy farm that they had moved to, I think, Iowa or Idaho. And a journalist tried to look into it, and Devin Nunez's actual mom and his actual cow, like, tried to intimidate this person and basically, like, start talking to people in the town to, like, tell them that they would be, like, in trouble. It was, like, very, like, menacing. They were, like, shadowing him everywhere and shit. Like, so the stuff that, again, just you always have to know whatever conservatives are accusing other people of, like, that is what they do. And bullying.
That's why they're so sure you're doing it.
He does that shit in real life. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and also, like, when you think about that dairy farm, there's a lot of, you know, they're like, they may be employing undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea behind the story, is he was going to look.
To look into the dairy farm.
So this family just doesn't ever talk about the fact that Devin Nunez is their son. Like, just, like, removed from all their documents. And he was like,
that's weird.
No wonder
his mom's ashamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he went and looked into it. And
no wonder his cow is doing all this shit.
Yeah. It's because he's, first of all, the family's not actually in California where he claims, and also his backstory about, like, being a pull himself up by his bootstraps thing is bullshit, and also they employ tons of undocumented workers. Mm.
And that's the paradoxical, world we live in, where people on one hand going to be like, oh, we got to do something about this, like, and they're my employees.
Yeah, California,
exploiting their labor.
California Republicans and farm owners got a little bit of a bite in the ass from voting for Trump. They were like, wait a second. I thought you were going to take away the other illegal immigrants, not the ones that
there's other ones,
the ones at the border that are the rape ones. Huh?
The worker.
All my chattel.
Yeah.
My chattel.
It's
pretty funny.
It's contradictory.
I mean, it's a really good cell phone.
Yeah. No, honestly, it is. And then just to see the, like, response from his family to be like, we got to keep this under wraps. Don't tell anybody.
I mean, nothing says, you know, I murdered Devin's brothers and buried them in the cow shed, like, following around a reporter and being like, nothing's going on here.
Right.
Why don't you just go? And if you talk, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, boss.
Very normal family.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk about soda, soda pop, pop.
Finally.
Depending on where you're from, what century, because nobody calls it soda pop anymore, mm-hmm. I don't think. But so SSBs is what we're referring to them now.
That's
sugar sweetened beverages.
Yes.
What about the carbonation part?
Anything. It's not just soda. It's like the wild sugary drinks.
Okay, so we're just talking about sugar water.
Sugar waters, Gatorades, even, you know, like
Gatorades?
Wacky juices. Totally. There's a lot of sugar in Gatorade.
Yeah. It's a sports drinks.
I mean, it's
sugar.
Not like as
well. Oh,
I brush my
clean.
Teeth with Gatorade. Yeah. Mm. Like, that's why I treat Gatorade as water.
I know. You take that mouth guard, you just put a little bit of Riptide Rush in there, and
Jack's
sleep
looking
with
a
it.
Little yellow. A little jaundiced.
Yeah. But yeah, dude. So this study comes out from Harvard. I think everyone had always known, our parents had always been like, soda's bad for you. And if you had an immigrant parent, they said that shit was the devil. My mom would never let me drink soda.
Same.
Yeah.
And I had to sneak off to my white neighbor's house to be like, can I have a Sprite?
Right.
Oh, you know when I got Coke? Birthday.
Oh, really?
Birthday, that's it.
What, like an 8-ball or just a gram? Pretty sick parenting. Yeah. Anyway, so this study comes out that basically was showing that, like, depending on how many sodas you drink, the more you drink can increase your risks of dying from any cause. Not
every
just something
cause.
Specifically, just like in general, there's linking that to, you know, lower life expectancy. So they're saying, this is from this study, it says, compared to drinking sugar sweetened beverages less than once per month, drinking 1 to 4 sugary drinks per month, that was linked with a 1% increased risk. 2 to 6 per week, 6% increased risk. 1 to 2 per day, 14% increased risk.
Who's drinking 1 to 2 sodas per day
in
2019?
A lot of motherfuckers are.
Really?
Yes.
So first question I had, does this transfer to diet sodas?
Okay, so cut to, there's a study from the American Heart Association that said, drinking two or more of any kind of artificially sweetened drinks. So a caveat here is this, they've noticed that in the study that these drinks tend to affect women more than they do men.
Oh, thank God. Oh, sorry.
Well, hold on to your butts, because just drinking two a day can increase your risk of a clot-based stroke or heart attack pretty significantly.
Shit.
Someone get me a damn 18 pack. I want to die.
Especially if you're over 50. So again, these aren't like just saying it's, they're not saying to treat this as like a monolith, right? Like everyone has different health situations, different exercise routines or whatever. But in general, they're just saying like, if you just let it rock and you're drinking wild sodas all the time, then maybe it will wear you down.
All I'm hearing from this is that this is a socially acceptable way to drink yourself to death.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, you won't shit yourself in public.
Yeah. You can go to work and drink sodas. Nobody says shit.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
Like, I'm pouring Coke in my whiskey bottle.
Yeah, right. You're like, ooh, ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
More bad news for white people. Juice is also just sugar water, it turns out.
Do y'all not have moms? Is that what's going on? Do Americans just not have moms?
I thought orange juice was just
juice. Was it just an orange?
Yeah,
liquid.
Yeah. No, well, that's real bad for you.
I think also though,
I'm over here drinking a big glass of yogurt.
I know. We got the kefir, whatever, kefir. What do you call that? We don't know. We still don't know.
I don't know, man. My throat is too clogged up. It's so fucking moist.
You're so phlegmy.
I'm so phlegmy from this kefir. I can't believe you guys have kefir in the office. This is so luxurious.
We're out here. You know what I think it is, though? It's probably like our parents not like growing up outside of the United States. They grew up, especially my mom, mm-hmm. the U.S. has bombed the shit out of Japan. So they're like, what are they doing over there?
Right.
Like soda? I don't know. Although now, yo, Japanese sodas are so fucking sweet.
Yeah.
It'll preserve your insides if that's a thing with sugar. But.
Right. But they treat it as like a novelty, like KFC. Well, yeah, like it's like not a daily staple of the diet.
Well,
right?
You know, on a continuum, people are gaining weight there because more sugary foods and more, you know, like processed foods are entering the Japanese diet. But, you know.
But culturally, like that's not a thing that you just like keep in your refrigerator.
Well, there's a lot more there's a lot more awareness of basic nutrition in pretty much almost every other country. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with poverty.
Right.
You know, it just has to do with like when you're poor and you only have a few things to eat, like you can't really fuck up, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to be like, oh, let's get that fried cheeseburger.
And also, you know, like nutritionally speaking versus price, soda gives you like nothing, you know. It's just fun to drink. It's sugar, you know, it tastes good. Yeah. But I
think soda companies target people like lower income communities with their marketing and assume that there's like an information desert and a nutrition desert. It happens in both ways, I think. But
And that's why it's the rise of the seltzer waters, basically.
But I honestly think that like white Americans like just having no sense of like that juice is bad or that soda is bad is just like there's no tradition that they're latched onto. It's also why our food is bad. It's like there's not a traditional...
Yeah, but everybody's eating unhealthy, though. I don't think white people own that solely.
But I'm
out here thinking, you know, my grandma thought juice was good, too.
Right. I mean, juice is good. Like,
it's delicious.
I mean, if you're comparing juice to soda, obviously juice is better for you.
But not that much better.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, I feel like
unless it's juicy juice.
Yeah, every other culture in the world is like, oh, yeah, fruit is candy. You know,
right.
Fruit is candy.
That's
and then you also have candy, which is made of sugar. Right. But I guess like white American culture is sort of like fruit is a vegetable and candy is a food.
That's right. There you go. That's how I was raised and I'm sticking to it. We'll get into Fox and Friends later because they were drinking milkshakes in Times Square.
I cannot wait for
in the morning.
Conservatives to be drinking big gulps in protest of this cultural Marxism
to
against soda. Yeah, just straight up getting cancer to own the libs.
Oh, that's right. Well, at the other end of the spectrum, sort of a scrappy underdog candidate who is starting to get a lot of attention. I will note that I've been talking about him for a year now. Petey Butts, as I call him, Pete Buttigieg, is super hot right now. CNN calls him the hottest candidate.
PB.
Really?
Yeah.
They call him the hottest candidate?
The hottest candidate right now.
Like in terms of just looks?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think mostly looks and also like body, you know, just like
he's like
build.
A Beto, was never in a band and like paid attention in school.
Right. But the wild story about him that's like kind of going around on social media is that he learned a language because I forget which language it was, but he read a book by an author that had been translated to English and then couldn't find any of that author's work that had been translated to English, like none of their other books had been. So he just learned that language to like read the rest of that author's book.
I like that.
So
wow.
Yeah, he speaks like 7-8 languages.
I like that. That's impressive.
Yeah, he's smart as fuck. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He was
Afghan war vet.
Yeah, Afghan war vet.
It seems weird. I know he knows how to say his own name, but yeah. Buttigieg seems weird. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, yeah.
Buttigieg.
I'm pretty sure.
Buttigieg. Yeah.
Hmm. The name's gonna be a problem for him. I feel like he's gonna need to rebrand.
I think Petey Butts is
Petey
like
Butts.
A cool,
I like people call Mayor Pete. I know, which is
Mayor
actually
Pete.
Pretty good.
President Pete.
President Pete.
Yeah, just do that.
Please.
There you go.
Please call me President Pete.
Please call me President.
Also, he looks exactly like the coach of the Celtics.
Yeah.
Which is being pointed out online. Brad Stevens, Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, they're definitely from similar dimensions.
Yeah.
And yeah, Rhodes Scholar went to Oxford. I mean, it's funny too, because when you the town hall he had was. He had a really good performance.
Yeah.
Like it's a performance,
he seems
but like
highly competent.
Yeah. Yes. He showed himself to be like someone we need to be paying more attention to. And I hope the other
cute hubby.
Outlets.
great couple.
I actually haven't seen his husband. Is this husband cute?
Yeah. They're like a good looking couple.
Nice.
What's the husband do?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know he's all up on Twitter being charming, though.
Yeah. Okay. Something about being a
launching
puff.
The charm offensive for old hubby Pete.
Oh, he's doing Harry Potter talk on there?
Yeah.
Oh,
he talked about
it. Okay.
Everyone on Twitter loves Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing I've realized, yes, it's that. And I don't know anything about it.
Neither do I.
But good for him. Yeah, but again, I really hope he gets a little bit more coverage because, man, when you hear him speak, you're almost like, oh, wow. His demeanor is like very settled. He just he's hyper intelligent.
He's like Beto, but standing on ground level instead of a counter for some
not
reason.
Not putting his feet on your eating surfaces.
Right.
Some poor barista has to wipe that up, Beto.
Was he in New Hampshire right now, I think?
Yeah.
Just
leaping from diner table to diner table.
Smashing glasses like Ron Burgundy when he gets the flute out. Stomping on tables.
That's
Beto,
right.
Please.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission,
parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That Irish people have a good sense of humor about themselves. It's around...
Whoa.
Well, listen, I'm half Irish.
Okay.
I'm half Irish. Yeah. So.
I'm just curious. Not that that was an interesting take. I'm like, what? Where? What happened?
Jack's going to fight me. No, it's well around St. Patrick's Day every year, this pops up between my former coworkers and I at the Boston Globe, where I wrote a piece in early 2015, peak DraftKings.
Okay, yeah.
PDF.
And
picturing it. Okay, yeah.
I wrote a piece about I just shadowed a bartender in Southie in Boston during St. Patrick's Day and just wrote about his day and like how crazy it was and everyone was drunk and all this stuff. And for some reason, like someone had a vested interest in going after the people who wrote for this website at this time. And there was
Boston Globe?
The Boston Globe. And it was like a separate, it was boston.com. It's right. Needlessly complicated. Yeah, yeah. But the Boston Herald published a print story the next day about how I was wrong to say that people were drunk on St. Patrick's Day
in Boston,
and they got a state representative to
condemn
make a
you?
Quote against me. Yeah,
yeah. Wow.
Every day is a drunk day in Southie, but St. Patty's Day runs by a completely separate set of laws. Wrote Loftus, whose website says she's also a stand-up and sketch performer. And
how
then,
did they convey that disgust in that text?
And then, quote: "I'm surprised such bigoted views are still tolerated at Boston.com," said U.S. Representative Stephen Lynch.
Right.
"It's very disrespectful," added former Mayor Raymond L. Flynn. "We experienced the finest day of our lives yesterday with family, faith, and friends. We could dismiss these comments as from uninformed people. They don't know us."
Yeah.
Holy shit.
St. Patrick's Day for Irish people is usually about faith.
They fucking came for me.
Yeah, when I saw what was going on in the Sunset Strip yesterday, it looked like a lot of people, faith-based.
Yeah, just a lot of prayer.
Activity.
Yeah.
I mean, in that bar in Indianapolis, we were all praying.
Yeah, I mean, Colossians 3:8, I believe, says, "Vomit in the street to show thine faith."
Yes, exactly.
So,
I mean, and so I learned.
Yeah, you don't have to obscure what St. Patrick's Day is about. I get maybe some people want to respect it for that day. A lot of people just take it as drink fest in March.
That's all.
Yeah.
Anyway,
shout out to Irish music to get the Irish back on our side. I went to a couple of things of like live Irish music, and one of them was good.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like some fiddling.
Yeah, like fiddling and like
Irish
weird
music,
instruments that, and there's like a woman dance, like doing the jig thing that
is
sort of a dance.
Those classes, the Irish dancing classes, it's hard.
Listen to these great Irish Americans still holding up their tradition. Yeah. You know, weird instruments and that lady doing that fucking
jig thing. It was a lot of fun. Anyways, I just wanted to honor my heritage with that hyper-specific call-out of an art form that I am very well acquainted with.
That one guy was playing on that stick
and we
the low whistle.
And we love that about them. We love that.
Yes. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.